Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. And Alex took a sick day, so we did not get to record an episode for Tuesday. But in the meantime, Alex decided that it was a good idea to curse my Bengals, and it half worked. They lost. But they covered the spread, so I guess the moral of the story is just fake that you're sick and put your votes in, and then Alex can get a prediction right.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on, Angela? Yeah, definitely my trip abroad didn't really work out all that great for my health. It worked out while I was there. I had a good time, but it became very cold very quickly. So like when I got out of the hotel, it was like, I don't know, let me translate Celsius to Fahrenheit for our American buddies.
American buddies,
which I guess it's most of you. So, when I left the hotel room, it was around 68 degrees Fahrenheit. And by what, 5 p.m. it was right around 37 degrees Fahrenheit. So, the
you're fucking pussy. Both those temperatures are shorts weather for me.
Hey, I was in t-shirt for most of that time.
Oh, yeah, so would I.
Yeah, but the thing is that, like, all of their buildings are super, super well constructed. So when you got in there, it was super heated, and it barely had any sort of dissipation. So it's just like the temperature, the shock of temperatures just completely fucked me up. But hey, I am like 90% right now, 85%.
Alex went to a country that doesn't still use mud and fucking like brick for their houses. So
our houses here in Portugal are quite shitty in terms of construction. So yeah, yeah, they are quite cold. Because we do not believe in isolation, apparently. So, yeah, that's good.
You guys believe in using mud and driftwood for your face.
Yeah, and sand as well, which is just the best stuff, really. But hey, I managed to get back just in time to watch some football. And that's what we're here to talk about. No one wants to know about my vacation. Everyone wants to know about our thoughts on last week's game. That's like the one thing that we... Hey, you beat me in the prediction once again. So fair play to you.
No. That's not why I hate you. I hate you because you fucking cursed my Bengals. You didn't take one for the goddamn team. You lost you fucking lost the plot. And, you know, Ja'Marr Chase not probably. He had the best game as far as performance that we've seen in probably like a decade. And just spoiled it. I'm honestly, that's the most annoying part. I'm fucking annoyed that we keep ruining these Joe Burrow games. Joe Burrow is fucking going crazy. Like, this man should be in the MVP conversation, but the fucking defense, I can't. Just go.
We still have a whole week to talk about, and one that you should be happy about on week 9, which you beat the Raiders. But since we're recording this on a Friday, I guess it's only fair that we talk about week 10, so we're just almost skipping week 9 here. We'll go back to that in a bit. But yeah, like, neither team really wanted to play defense. Offense, they wanted to play plenty. But defense, like, no team was really interested in that. Again, there were some plays in there by Chase which you were just like, how is like the defense allowing this? I remember one fairly cleanly, which was the Mike Williams one, in which is it Mike Williams? No, Mike Williams is the wide receiver.
Yeah, that's the wide receiver, bitch.
The safety, is it Marcus Williams?
Marcus Williams sounds right, yes.
Marcus Williams, yeah. It's Marcus Williams, where he's just completely lost in the sauce. He was looking for a tight end. There was no tight end there to cover. He just leaves the deep part of the field completely wide open. Stephens, the cornerback, just gets torched by Chase, and that's the touchdown. In the end, I do think like there should have been some penalty called in that last play of the two-point conversion, which, again, they are constantly missing. I do not see as much uproar as I saw versus, like, the Chiefs when they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last Monday Night Football. But apparently, like, if it doesn't benefit the Chiefs, then it's just okay. If it benefits the Ravens, we're okay with it, and we're not even going to badmouth it. That's good. I'm just trying to see where we stand. So penalties, lack of penalties against the Ravens are just okay. Lack of penalties.
The good news is, if you have Chiefs. Jamar Chase in fantasy, congratulations, you win this week.
Hey, in PPR, I have him in 3 leagues. He scored 50.4 points, so you pretty much won. Yeah. Can you imagine in Superflex if you went against Chase? You went against Lamar, and you went against Burrow. So Burrow scored 36 points, Lamar Jackson scored 35.8, and Jamar Chase scored 54.4. So you basically scored what you scored in like a week in 3 players. You probably even blew the average there. So good stuff. Your boy Chase Brown, though, he is doing work.
Told you. I honestly don't get why we fucking even traded for Khalil Herbert. That was absolutely pointless.
Like, you like the type of running back that Chase Brown is, that he isn't going to handle like 30 carries weekly all that well. So yeah, you kind of
need to saying, but like, hold on, did Khalil Herbert even play in this fucking game? I don't even remember.
He fumbled the ball.
He didn't even.
I think he was involved in a play because he played some snaps. If not, he played 2% of the snaps, and he was involved in a play that led to a fumble. But I think they sent that fumble to Burrow.
What was the point? Explain to me the fucking point. Explain to me the point of the deal.
You're trading for the dude because, like, you are in the trade deadline, so you needed to get a body in, and it's probably just for the future, just to make sure. Yeah, you needed to get a buddy in. It's not like you paid like a leg and an arm for him. You paid what, 7th round pick? It's an exchange for I don't even know if it's a 7th straight up or it was some sort of an exchange in there. But you just needed a body behind Chase Brown, and it's like just for the future. I'm sure that if they had another week, they would probably trade for him next week. But since they didn't, they just sort of need to get the guy in the building, and eventually we'll play a bit more, I guess. But it's Chase Brown still. I don't think the split will be as even as it was with Zach Moss. It's Chase Brown, like, I don't know, at the 60-something percent, like 65, and then Khalil Herbert, 35, for example. I think you're going to land at that, but, like, you can't have Chase Brown, like, getting 25-plus touches every single week, because eventually he's going to break down because the dude is like 5'10", 210, which is an okay size, but it isn't like elite size. So he's just not used to that load until now. So
that's ridiculous.
Hey, but he's doing work right now. In the league that I have, I am ecstatic because I went zero RB. I had David Montgomery and then a bunch of rejects. And I made a trade early on, just before even the season started, like prior to the first kickoff, which is basically bailing me out big time, which was Trey McBride. I got Trey McBride, I got Chris Olave, and I got Chase Brown. And I sent James, not James. Is it James? James Connor? Yeah, James Connor. I'm blanking out on names right now, so you know it's rough. For James Conner and Michael Pittman. So that trade is doing wonders for me right now because Trey McBride is the best tight end in terms of like pretty much everything in terms of like
redraft or dynasty.
Redraft. It's the money league. It's the one money league that I'm in.
So what you're saying is, when we had these off-season talks about Chase Brown versus Zach Moss, you decided to listen to me for once? I got you.
Hey, in the Dynasty League, the 32-team league, I have Zach Moss. I acquired Zach Moss in the off-season for the cheap because I thought he would be the one. But here, like, it was purely value, and it was like the dude wanted to, I wanted the running back thrown in. It was between Chase Brown or Tajay Spears. He offered me Spears. I wasn't super keen on Spears because the Titans are quite shitty. So I just asked for Chase Brown just in case I was wrong, and apparently I was. So perfect. Worked out great.
Worked out great.
But yeah, tough loss for you guys. Your guys are now 4-6. How do you feel about the playoffs still at this point? Is it still reachable? It feels reachable.
It feels reachable, but I don't know. If it's reachable, it's like the last wild card team. I don't know.
It's only reachable if you stop allowing 30-plus point games from the other team.
Is it stupid that I feel like we're playing like an AFC championship team as far as the offense go, but we're still losing games? We're a good fucking 4-6 team.
You are very good.
It sounds stupid to say, but it's reality.
It is. I mean, your losses are like outside of the Patriots loss. You look at your losses and you lost to the Chiefs, you lost to the Commanders, you lost to the Ravens, you lost to the Eagles, and you lost to the Ravens again. So those are your five losses outside of the Patriots. All of those are actually good losses outside of maybe the Eagles, but that's just because I hate the fucking Eagles. But yeah, all of those are good losses. Those are all like quality losses versus quality teams. And the thing is, you scored in the outside of one game versus the Eagles, in those five losses, you scored 25 points or more. And in three of those losses, you scored 30 points or more. So it's like you're losing games because your defense can't stop allowing people to score like 30-plus points. Like the Commanders scored 38 on you. The Ravens on the first time scored 41 on you. The Eagles scored 37 on you. The Ravens now scored 35. So it's like,
it's just annoying. It's just annoying to watch. Just like, this is pain. Do I even want to see what the Bengals' remaining schedule is? Let's see some of this pain. Bengals.
Tell you what, I don't think a lot of those teams can score 30-plus points in general. So
that's actually, so they, but a lot of them have good defenses, and that's the thing. They do. So the Chargers are going to play keep away with the Bengals offense. The Steelers twice. That's a really good defense. The Cowboys suck right now. The Browns suck right now. The Broncos have really, like, here's the thing. If you told me we didn't lose another game from this point on, I would believe you. That said, that's really fucking hard to do, especially when you play the Steelers defense twice and the Broncos and the Chargers defense once. And the Titans defense isn't to be slept on either.
Yeah, but it's like you always get 14 points free from Will Levis, so you can't get in that report. Yeah, it's like you get a boost from the start. You start with 14 points versus Will Levis. So you're good there. But yeah, like, in terms of the defenses, those are good. But assuming your offense is as high-powered as it appears to be, And it is as high, and it is playing as an eye of a level as it is. I would assume that you would at least be able to score. Yeah, so
offense right now. Let's see.
I'd assume as long as you can hold them to below 30, you can win some of those games, if not all of them. So
NFL points scored per game. We're number 6 on the year.
Yeah, the Ravens are probably above you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Figured so, because they score 40 for fun.
That's just crazy. The good news is, like, if we give up 40 points to, or 40 points, 30 points to some of these offenses, then I think I might actually have an aneurysm. Like, imagine we come here and they gave up like 28 points to the Titans.
Oh, that's a reason to just fire Brian Gellin. Zach Taylor. That's a reason to fire Zach Taylor right away. Like, you cannot allow close to 30 points to Will Levis. That's just way too much.
I don't know. We'll see how we do.
Hey, but now, for the previous week, week 8, how much foot, week 9, that is, how much foot, damn, this flies fast. Like, I don't know how this flies so fast, but it's like, in a minute, we're starting the season, the other one, we're saying, yeah, we're on week 10, and it's like, Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, time flies like that.
It's like, yeah, it's the best sport in the world, and we can't even have it for that long.
I mean, season's don't get me over. Wrong. I love football and the sport is good, but that's life, man. Like, that's my friends always ask me why I'm like so energetic and why I like just give so much effort. I'm like, just dude, you never know. You're gonna wake up tomorrow one day and someone you interact with normally is just not gonna be there. And that's just life. And you're never gonna know when that day is.
Angelo is on his philosophy right now. You see, what losing to the Ravens twice does to a motherfucker.
It is what losing to the Ravens twice does to a motherfucker.
I don't know. You're about to go into a spiral, and you're also going to lose. Like,
I promise you, if we lose to the Steelers, I might actually like. I don't know.
Call a sick day.
No, I wouldn't need to call a sick day. I'd need to call an intervention.
You need Jesus at that point. Oh my God. But for week 9, there were some interesting headlines that we haven't had the opportunity to discuss yet. I guess the first one, I'll just go through the list of games here. But the Cowboys losing Dak Prescott, which appears to be maybe 6 weeks at this point. I've read that if he has surgery, you're looking at probably 4 weeks. If he doesn't have surgery, you're probably looking at 6 to 8. So it's basically season for them because they are 3-5, and this team is not good enough to go to the playoffs.
Everyone hates Dak Prescott in Dallas, it seems like. So that's not exciting. Here's my question for you. Do you know who the fuck got announced as the starter?
Cooper Rush.
Why the fuck did they trade for Trey Lance, have sat him for now a full year? He sat a full year under this system. Dak goes down, and they decide to trout Cooper Rush out there. What was the point, and why have you been holding him this long if the first time Dak goes down, he's not out there? Because here's what's going to happen. Here's what I think they hope happens. Cooper Rush catches lightning in a bottle again, like he did the last time Dak went down. And they start winning games. But here's the thing. We already saw who Cooper Rush was. The moment any solid defense or any good defense gives him any kind of contention, he folds like a cheap fucking tent. So what's going to end up happening is they're going to play that good defense, and then everyone is going to be clamoring for Trey Lance. Because Dak isn't there. Oh, and look who it is on the slot. Houston on Monday night. How fun.
You know what? I think that part of the issue is that at this point, Jerry Jones is kind of in a between a rock and a hard place. Like, the best owner in the league, according to you. The absolute greatest genius.
I'm just saying he was trying.
Hey. You aren't even trying if you're trading day two picks or day three picks for Trey Lance and then Jonathan Mingo. And you're saying you're trying? You're trying to what? Lose the for the entirety of your life? Ruin the franchise? That's what you're trying? Because that seems to be what you're trying. I just think that giving the extension to this guy was just a perennial loser when it matters. We can say all we want. Oh, he's a good regular season QB. He's a decent QB. He has the good stats. The offense tends to be good enough. I mean, I'm just trying to remember a game in like my life of watching the NFL in which Dallas didn't just absolutely stunk it on a playoff game, and I remember like two instances maybe, and I've been watching this for 10 years, so, and for those 10 years Dak Prescott has been the starting QB for the Dallas Cowboys. So it's like, you gave him this big extension, okay, the fans are already turning on Dak. They have always been sort of turning on Dak for a bit now. Last time Cooper Rush played, they flipped on Dak Prescott to the point in which they actually wanted that bum Cooper Rush to play more football and to be the starter for the franchise. Can you imagine if now that bum, Cooper Rush, was a young, not even youngish, but very young QB, had wheels, and had some hype coming out of college, and was always a what if. Can you imagine if that happens? Because that's Trey Lance. So if you put Trey Lance in there, and he just actually pans out, you have a $60 million issue in your ends right there. Because you have a $60 million guy that no fan wants to see because they want the new shiny toy in Trey Lance. Because if it is Trey Lance, then the team, then the fans can actually say, this is going to be our year with a straight face again. Which they can't right now with Dak Prescott, because everyone mocks them for saying that. Everyone would mock them for saying that with Trey Lance still, but it's just like, they would at least say it with some sort of a straight face, because they now would have a different QB to just hang their ads on. So that's why you can actually start Trey Lance. And that's why it was kind of idiotic to trade for the dude, unless you were going to let that go.
I don't know. I just don't know what Dallas is doing. Trying to lose, trying to get a quarterback. I don't know.
Oh, they're trying to get a quarterback. Great. Thank God they didn't just spend $60 million on one. Jesus, that would suck.
Oh, yeah, no, they did just give Dak the extension.
They did. That's kind of the issue right here. That they did. He's the highest paid football player ever, if I'm not mistaken. So, you kind of have an issue.
Highest football player ever.
I, if I'm not mistaken, ever played average. It's paid. It's not played. Okay, it doesn't show. But if I'm not mistaken, I could check Spot Track. But if I'm not mistaken, Dak is currently the highest paid QB. Or player in the league. You're kind of fucked in that regard. Like, what are you going to do?
Well, the Cowboys are going to cowboy. So,
I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're trading for Jonathan Mingo. That's what's going to solve your franchise.
They're probably going to resign him, too. He's probably going to be the Michael Gallup replacement.
Great. That's yeah. Great. Imagine if like the Panthers draft this fucker in like, what was it? The third round, fourth round, second round. So they draft this fucker in the second round. He's an absolute bust. I mean, he had bust written all over him, like from to the head to the toe. Like, he never led Ole Miss in receiving yards in his entire career. He played like 5 years in Ole Miss, never led the team in receiving yards. In his last season, he broke like 1,000 yards. He still didn't lead the team in receiving yards. That was like some bum that was drafted in the seventh round, like Malik Heath or some shit like that. And it's like, Jerry Jones goes in there with a straight face on radio and says, yeah, you know, we're training for a guy that we loved since college. So we're training for that guy for sure. And it's like, you're kind of ruining your leverage there, buddy. But okay, I guess that is it. Then they go ahead, they trade the fourth round pick for a guy that can't even break into the starting squad of the Carolina Panthers, the current Carolina Panthers, who are absolutely the worst team in the league, let me tell you that. But it's all good because they're paying a fourth round pick for a guy they had a third round grade on. Make that shit make sense, man. I swear to God, some guys are just dumb fucking asses. That's the worst mismanagement of picks I've ever seen. Like, I swear to God, that's just one of the worst trades I've ever seen. Especially when you look at the market, like, you have the Ravens out there trading a sixth round pick for Deontay Johnson. Steal of the trade deadline or the trade around the trade deadline. You have Mike Williams being traded for a fifth round pick. You have who else? Some other wide. DeAndre Hopkins was traded. Amari Cooper was traded for a fifth round pick. DeAndre Hopkins was traded for around that as well, if I'm not mistaken. And Jerry Jones goes in there with a straight face and tells you, you know what I want? I want that guy, Jonathan Mangum. He's gonna fit right in my team. Because we're the Dallas Cowboys and we're America's team, buddy. Because we had the third round grade on this guy, so now he only has 2 more years on his rookie deal. That's what I'm going to get. Because now, in like a year, I'm going to have to pay him an extension. And I just wasted a fourth round pick on. It's not even like we actually drafted players in the fourth round. Like, we didn't get this fella, Dak Prescott, in the fourth round or anything like that. No, never mind that. We're actually suck on those. Just don't check our track history. And it's like,
don't check their record.
Because if you checked, you would see that they're actually drafting like Pro Bowlers in the fourth round, like quite often. But no, they just slandering this, throwing away picks for like a bum wide receiver. And it's just, I swear to God, the mismanagement, dude, the mismanagement. It's almost as bad as benching your, top five drafted QB. Like 10 games into his career. That's also peak management. I'll tell you that much.
Are we going to talk about that? Are we going to talk about Anthony Richardson?
Hey, the discussion was last week.
Alex, what happened?
The discussion last week was Ursay, Jerry Jones. Only feels right if we go that route again.
I'm just going to point something out right now. On Keep Trade Cut, we had a segment. And I'm pretty sure Anthony Richardson was like a top five quarterback, if I'm not mistaken in it.
He was top 10 for sure.
That's what
top
I thought.
Five probably.
Let's see where he is now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You're going
8,
to count a bit, 9, buddy.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Six Cardinals worth more, 21, 22, 23, 24, sitting where he belongs with Geno Smith and Justin Fields.
Yeah, just great, like, for sure. It's one of those decisions where you think about it and you immediately understand it, because it's just like, it totally makes a whole lot of sense that you have this guy. You drafted him top five in the NFL draft. So you kind of believe in this dude. I mean, you have to for what you drafted him. So you have this dude. You drafted him top five. You know that, like, the one thing that everyone has ever said about this guy is that, one, the WoW plays are WoW. Two, he's raw as shit. Because he played, like, 15 games in college. That's about it. So that's the two things that you know, that he's a wow athlete. You know, he's a wow throws guy. He's a great athlete, but he is raw as fuck. He's raw as chicken in like the butcher's market. So he's really raw. And it's like, what do you actually need to do?
Chicken's metaphor, because if you consume raw chicken, it gives you salmonella, and that's what this guy's done to you, Alex.
Do I have salmonella? Have I ingested some Anthony Richardson? I don't know. That's getting weird. But yeah, like it definitely makes sense that you know all of that. You draft this dude top five, and like, I don't know, 10 games into his career, you decide that the right thing to do is to bench him for a 40-plus-year-old QB in Joe Flacco. That's what's
AKA
going to...
AKA the best quarterback in Indiana right now.
It doesn't fucking matter if he's the best quarterback in Indiana, Angelo. He's 40 fucking years old. He's not going to start another year for you because he's old as shit. And he's also not fucking good. So what the fuck are you hoping for?
He is good. He is better than Anthony Richardson, Alex.
It doesn't fucking matter if he's better than Anthony Richardson. He is not good enough to do anything for you in the playoffs. Like, what are you actually hoping to achieve? Like, a first-round exit in the playoffs? Great. Now you went to the playoffs, and you got a first-round exit. And you know what? You butchered the fifth overall pick. Like, ever. That's just... What are you doing? Like, that's awful management as well. Like, just give the dude time to play because you know he's raw as fuck. You need to give him at least 17 games to see what you have. Or what you could have done as well, since last year you also acquired the backup that a lot of people like in the league, in Gardner Minshew. What you should have probably done, if you think that benching him is the solution, is that you do the Patrick Mahomes route. You put him on the bench for the first year. You know what you don't do? You do the, okay, here's 3 games, you get injured, now you're fucked. Like, your rookie season is fucked. Come back, okay, let's run the same offense that's just going to completely blow you up. And guess what? He blows up his hip because the dumb fuck head coach decides to, after his QB goes into the sideline injured, he comes back, first play in, he decides to call a QB run, and his QB gets immediately hit in the hip. So that's another 2 games off. And now you put in a 40-plus-year-old QB throwing the football. He isn't even anything special, let me tell you that right now. Because, like, he's making some dumbasses throw. Like,
Alex, are you suggesting that the Indianapolis Colts are mismanaged? How dare you suggest that?
Maybe they are. Maybe everything is mismanaged, Angelo. I think every team is run by a dumb fuck. At this point, like, all of them are kind of dumb fucks at this point. Like, I don't know. Like, you're starting with the Jets, with Woody Johnson, finishing, going with, like, Jerry Jones in the middle, and now finishing up with Jim Irsay. All of those guys are dumb fucks. You throw in Pepper in there, he's another dumb fuck. So, what do you want? Like, you throw the Raiders guy in there that just hired the coach because the players wanted them. So, why the fuck are you hiring people that just the players want? Why are you even, like, hiring other people to make those decisions for you? Just give the decisions to the players. I'm sure they would do great. I mean, Max Crosby seems like a very, like, smart guy. Let me tell you that. The team is going to run great on you. Because now you are in a great position, like the Raiders as well. I'm just completely sidetracking here. I'll go back to my point. But imagine, like, the Raiders, like, this great organization, the best organization in the world in terms of, like everyone knows the Raiders in Portugal. Like, people walk with Raiders shirts in here. It's just, you have all that appeal. And now you get Tom Brady as an owner. And you know what you do? You hire the player that you hire the coach that the players actually wanted in Antonio Pierce. It's going great for you. I'll tell you that much. It's dog shit right now. It's totally dog shit. But you know what is going to fix it in the year of 2024? Is that you get Norv Turner out of retirement. 70-plus-year-old Norv Turner out of retirement to just help run your offense. Because you know who you're going to put in OC? The fucking son of Norv Turner. Like, you are running a... I don't know, is that like a charity? Are you running like... What is 70-plus-year-old Norv Turner doing with an NFL team? Like, are you going to run what? Smash Mouth Football? It's like, sure, buddy, you were a great mind back with like the Dallas Cowboys, for example, or back with those like early 2000s offenses when people didn't even know what the fucking RPO was, and you know that, but not every other team in the league knows that. So what are you going to bring to this offense? It's just like, why are people so dumb fucks? And it seems like every owner is a fucking dumb fuck at this point. So what can I tell you? But going back to the Colts, we're in a rant right now. Going back to the Colts, that's just beautiful, pristine asset management. Is that you draft a guy in the fifth round pick, then knowing that he's raw as fuck, 10 games in, you ruin his chances with you, and you're back in the QB market. Just great. Who are you going to sign next year? Let me look at the... Okay, you're probably getting either Aaron Rodgers, because you're back in the carousel. Now it's back to Carson Wentz and Philip Rivers, and I guess you can throw like Aaron Rodgers in there. Next up, oh, you have Derek Carr is there. Like, Derek Carr would do great in Indiana, purely because like he would be able to assassinate all of those receivers. He seems to be great at that. He already put Chris Olave on the shelf. You have Mike Thomas just throwing him a new one, just saying that he's a dumb fuck, that he keeps throwing hospital balls to every single wide receiver that he has. So you can go with him, or you can go with like the 40-plus-year-old Andy Dalton that just got like, apparently like Bryce Young is a thing again, and he got benched by Bryce Young, so that's just great stuff. You can go and try and get Deshaun Watson. Like, go get Deshaun Watson. That's like pristine management of your assets. So just do that, because you're doing great there, buddy. And you can finish off by...
You know what? Who the Colts could get?
who could the Colts get?
Trey Lance.
Great. So you go from... Jesus fucking Christ, Angela. You go from one raw as fuck QB who you gave 10 games to. And you go from that guy because you were fed up with him, you move off, and now you're getting the even more raw QB that went in like the third round, never got a proper chance, that you're going to absolutely butcher in 5 games because he's even worse than Anthony Richardson, because just like he's not even half of the athlete that Richardson is. So that's just going to go out great, really. Just don't really see any sort of issue there. Every team is a dumb fuck at this point, man. I swear to God, I can explain some of the decisions that they're making. But yeah, Anthony Richardson, done for, apparently. Joe Flacco seems to be the guy for the rest of the way. Thank God they did that actually this week, because if I'm not mistaken, the Joe Flacco experiment got them. Let me check. Let me make an account real quick. So they scored 13 points. Yeah, not impressive. But wait. Well, you're telling me the defense got a pick six or like a return six? Okay, so the offense, they scored 6 points, maybe a touchdown. And no, it was 2 field goals. So the offense actually produced nothing on offense. Like, they didn't score an actual touchdown. Thank God you benched Anthony Richardson. I'll tell you that much. Because the defense for sure wouldn't be able to make a pick six with Anthony Richardson in there.
Yeah, probably not, honestly. Seems demoralized with them. Joe Flacco gives them hope.
Yeah, great hope. I'll tell you that much. Like, those 170 yards he passed for, those give you a lot of hope. The interception that he threw, that gives you a lot of hope. And the 0 points that he scored, that gives you even more hope. Great stuff. You know what actually gives me hope? I'll tell you this much. Drake May gives me hope. Drake May looks like a guy that actually has it all. Like, he looks like he's poised in the pocket. He looks like he knows when to run. He's making some plays when he needs to in trailing situations. He was trailing the Titans 10-17. He managed to get a touchdown late in the game to tie up that game. Sure, it's really interception in OT. Shit happens. He's a rookie. But he's at least using his talents in a good way. He's running the football. He's making the correct decisions to give this team a bit more time. And he's clutching out in key moments. So I like Drake May. I like what I'm seeing from Drake May. He's playing well. So props to him. I'll tell you as well that I liked what I saw from Bryce Young. It appears like Bryce Young has another life right now. That was a weird as fuck game because the Saints absolutely dominated the Panthers. And then just like in regular Saints way, they absolutely butchered that game. But it's still like Bryce Young made a few good plays that I liked. So he's back. You know who's also a dumb fuck? Let me tell you this. Oh my god, another dumb fuck.
It's a dumb fuck. Let me talk to you.
Let me talk to you. This needs to be renamed the Dumb Fuck League, the National Dumb Fuck League. It's like it's whoever is GMing the Panthers. So you pretty mind you go in there and you draft the best running back in this past year's class, Jonathan Brooks. You go in there, you draft him in the second round, big. Everyone's excited for this dude. He has a torn, I believe it was ACL, but he's recovering. He's going to be fine. You draft him in the second round. You give some carries to Chuba Hubbard. Like, Chuba Hubbard is, for most of his career, a jag. Like, that's it. When he gets the chance, he does okay, but like, it is what it is. Like, he is a jag. So everyone kind of knows that he's a jag. Like, he's on almost a career year. This is his third year. No, this is actually his career year. So you have this guy. He is in the last year of his contract, of his rookie contract. And you're like, okay, we're drafting Jonathan Brooks. We're not being fooled by whatever Chuba Hubbard does. Like, the shenanigans happen when players are playing for a new contract. We know what's going to happen no matter what he does. Like, he would need to do something like rush for 2,000 yards. That's the only way that we're giving him a contract and such. Oh, wait, what? He's actually doing quite well. Okay, let's give him, like, nah, you know what? You're probably not just a guy. So here, $30 million. What the actual fuck, man? Like, why use a second round pick on a guy, on a running back, if you're going to give 30 plus million to a guy already on your team? Never mind the fact that they paid another 30 million to Miles Sanders, like, last season, just to watch from the side. I would love Miles Sanders' job, I swear to God. Like, you're getting 30 plus million dollars, and you're getting, like, two carries. Yeah, like, it's like, you're getting 30 plus million dollars, and this year you have, what? You have touched the ball 36 times. No, not 36. You've touched the ball 50 times. So, on most weeks, yeah, I mean, just in this week, you had, like, how many? You had 23% of the snaps. So you effectively, like, had, what, 10 snaps? So you're getting $30 million for that, for making a short cameo here and there. So it's just, like, lovely job, man. And you're going to Germany just this weekend. So you're getting to travel aboard. You're getting to sit on the sideline. I wouldn't say you're getting great games, because you are in the Panthers after all. So you're at least getting a football game, and you're getting $30 million. So, at times, you actually can watch good teams. It's just when you play good teams, you get to watch good teams. So, you've managed to watch Washington up close. You managed to watch Atlanta up close. You even managed to watch Cincinnati up close. So, you're doing great in life, man. Great fucking job. I assume that's going to be the same job Chuba Hubbard has in, like, a season or two, where he's just, like, making $30 million, sitting on the bench, watching cool shit, traveling aboard. Maybe not, because by that point, the Panthers are probably just the scum of the earth and are not even getting games abroad. So, yeah, good stuff. Like, that GM is just the smartest guy in the room. I tell you that much. Like, you're spending $60 million on, like, two running backs, and you draft another guy in the second fucking round. Are you actually stupid? It's just like,
Jonathan Brooks. Speaking of which, when is Jonathan Brooks making his debut? Is it this week?
Apparently, he's active this week, but the coaching staff hasn't said that if he's going to play or not. But they sort of had to activate him from IR. Otherwise, he would be done for the season. So it could just be that he takes another, like, week. until he's ready, but they had to activate him. I'm just disappointed at all of these teams. Like, there's not a single one, I guess, that just gives me something good to talk about. I guess the Bills, but the Bills, like, the Bills are the luckiest motherfuckers ever. Like, you
Bills go, are the what?
Are not the luckiest motherfuckers ever, because you go through a stretch in which you're crying because of the Jim Kelly Bills. You lost the three Super Bowls because of the field goals that were right. missed in those games. Oh my God, everything is unfair to the Bills. How can Bills fan even work with this? And then it's like, oh, okay, so versus the Seahawks, you beat them 31-10, and it's like the Seahawks have, apparently we do not have hands in the Seahawks. Those are cut when you sign for the team, especially at QB. It's
I mean, yeah, how do you think Kenneth Walker got his?
Yeah, that's just it. He managed to get a pair of hands from like Geno Smith, and now he's the best running back ever in terms of like catching the football. So great stuff. But now, yeah, this was a big news back in Seattle when Mike McDonald signed, because it was like a new rule that he had. Like every QB needs to have his hands chopped off. So he's like, you know, Geno is actually throwing with just like the cutlets that he has right now instead of the hands. He just has like the bone coming out. That's what he's throwing. That's why like the balls are completely just like, even last week, we had another two snaps or three snaps in which the ball just went completely past him and the dude didn't even see the fucking football. So you had that going for the Seahawks twice inside of the red zone. Great stuff. You beat the Jets. I don't even know how. You beat the Jets, because I think that's the first time that I've ever seen like a team throw an Hail Mary and actually lose that game. So great stuff. That's just the best stuff. And now, like versus the Dolphins, for example, you go in there and the guy that every Bills fan hates going into the season is Tyler fucking Bass. Tyler fucking Bass used to be good and has been dog shit for most of his time. Recently, like last year, he was quite shitty. But this motherfucker misses an extra point and then proceeds to hit a 61-yard field goal to win a game in regulation. What in the actual fuck, man? I can't even have faith in the Bills anymore. Like, even the Bills, they're shitty. Man, everyone is shitty. Everyone has issues. Everyone is like, you trade for Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is washed as fuck. Everyone is like hyping up Amari Cooper because, oh my God, what can Amari Cooper do with Josh Allen right now? Do you know what Amari Cooper can do with Josh Allen right now? The same shit that Stephon Diggs did with Josh Allen last year when Joe Brady took over. Absolutely fucking nothing, because they wanted to run the fucking football. And like, these old wide receivers are all sort of washed in Buffalo. And then they go to another team and like, they're the superstars. Like, Stephon Diggs was still like looking great. So Amari Cooper is fucking washed. He was washed before going to Buffalo. Now he goes to Buffalo. He's even more washed, because that's just a Buffalo effect on these players. And it's like, not only is he washed, he's also hurt right now. So it's like,
yes.
No, yeah, it's like, he has spent a fifth round pick on nothing. Great stuff, man. That's just like the best thing you can do. Thank God, like, you let, like, DeAndre Hopkins, who looked washed. Like, the Chiefs have the reverse effect here. It's just like, the players go to Buffalo, they are washed. Washed players go to KC, and apparently, like, I don't know, DeAndre Hopkins is now, like, the next superstar player. Because, like, he goes to the Chiefs, and he has, like, 8 catches, 86 yards, 2 touchdowns. Looks fresh, like a chicken spring, or spring chicken, or whatever you say that in there, which makes absolutely no sense. What the fuck is a spring? Is a spring chicken? It's like a chicken that only walks in the spring? What the fuck is that saying? But never mind that. So, yeah, like, the Bills are also dumb fucks, but they're lucky dumb fucks, so they keep winning. 7-2. Great stuff. Oh, by the way, the Panthers actually managed to fire a coach. That's just like the best headline from week 9. The Panthers managed to fire a coach. Now imagine how shit of...
What? Did they fire Alex?
Dennis motherfucking Allen.
That's the Saints.
Yeah, but the Panthers, like losing to the Panthers, made Dennis Allen.
Curse. Losing to the get Panthers canned. Is a fucking curse. Like that's
a, it should be. They're the fucking worst team in the league. Death,
quite honestly.
It should be. You're losing to the worst team in football. So, like, if you lose to this team, you should get fucking canned because you're shit. Could have been canned a long time ago. Now it's time to can the QB as well before he kills anyone else. Because Olave is now in the shelf. He's probably going to the IR as well. So, great stuff, Carr. Great stuff. Great fucking throwing hospital bombs. Just avoid those to Alvin Kamara. I need Alvin Kamara like I need hair. So, please, Carr, just throw the short stuff to Kamara. Don't get him killed. Thank you.
Don't get Alvin Kamara killed. Is definitely
I need him. I need him like hair, man. I'm surprised that we've talked a bit in the group chat, and we're like, what, an hour into this show right now, and I do not have another message from Austin, which this one was probably justified if I have another message from Austin, but I do not have another message from Austin. So I'm guessing that he's okay with Caleb Williams' performance. So we'll leave it at that, and I'm probably just going to skip it.
Yeah. This guy.
I guess it's okay. Caleb Williams. Yeah. Hey, he had more yards than Kyler Murray. I'm guessing they won. Oh, no, wait.
We need to go into the predictions because you need to go at some point. All
right. I can talk a bit more. I still have a bit more time. Also, Ken.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
I guess we can skip the Bears. It's just at this point we might as well just say that Kelly Williams is a fucking fraud. But it is what it is. Now, you know what isn't who isn't a fraud? It's actually just Jaden Daniels. Like, the dude is fucking cracked.
Jaden Daniels is I'm gonna start sounding like Austin, but Caleb Williams, when this is all said and done, might actually be the third or fourth best player. Quarterback in this draft class.
Who's like the third? If he's not the third, who's the third? Like, I know you can say Drake May. I don't think Drake May is there. Yeah, but let's put Drake May at two. Let's put Jaden Daniels at one. Drake May at two. Who's three? If not Caleb.
That's a good question.
Bo Nix? Is that it? Is it just like Bo Nix?
Honestly, Bo Nix is statistically performing better than Caleb this year.
Hey, Bo Nix just mossed Marcus Williams. So I guess like if everything fails as a QB, you can go to wide receiver. But you need to kind of play the washed up Marcus Williams. Like every week. It's like he plays wide receiver. The whoever team he plays against, Marcus Williams need to get traded too. That's
yeah, like but the point is the discrepancy, and this is again hype culture. The discrepancy between Caleb Williams' talent, between Jaden Daniels and between Drake May, it's not like this huge gap. And if anything, Caleb is losing that gap. Like Caleb is not better than Jaden Daniels. I'm sorry.
Sure,
Caleb I'll might not even be better than Drake May.
Whatever you want to say about Jaden Daniels, but it's just like, sure, he's not better than Jaden Daniels, who is currently having the best rookie season of everyone ever. So it's just like, so he's not better than the best rookie QB ever. That's not as big of an insult as people think it is. I'll tell you that much.
I get what you're saying. In reality, no, it's not. But you have to understand that the perceived gap going into this draft between them was so far that Jaden Daniels wasn't even considered in the debate.
Sure,
I snatched Jaden Daniels in multiple rookie drafts because of that fact. But if you were in Superflex, Caleb Williams was your consensus 101, pretty much, unless you wanted to get spicy and go Marvin Harrison Jr., who I told everyone was not the best wide receiver in this class. I was right, and I would like my victory lap.
Take it. Walk. Just get it out from your chair and walk it. That's what I can give you. Or I can also give you like something like, I don't know, if it makes you happy, I'll do like this. That's what I can offer you. But it's like, I think there's a difference between he is not as good as he was hyped up to be, and he is a bust. And I think the line is that, yeah, but it's like a lot of people are making that jump, like Austin, for example, who's using his slow start, Caleb Williams, or his losses or his underperformances. He's using that to say that he's a bust. And I don't think it's necessarily true, nor do I think like him, like his slow start at game. It's not even the slow start in general. It's just like the matchups, like, there are difficulties that he has with some of the matchups. I don't think that's enough to say that he's like, that he's never going to adapt to the league, that he's never going to pan out, that this is the same old Bears, because he has shown a lot and he has had good games and he has like led the team to some wins right now that are on him. So it's like, I feel like he's getting a lot of hate. I don't think all of the hate is justified. Sure. Jaden Daniels is playing great. Jaden Daniels, at this point, looks to be like the pick that you should have made in Dynasty, the pick that maybe the Bears should have made. But I don't know. Some of these things sometimes just do not pan out that way. Maybe if Caleb falls with...
maybe the Bears should have made... Can you really make the argument that the fucking Commander situation was better than the Bears situation, not taking the quarterbacks into consideration?
I cannot. I can tell you that the...
Not in good faith, you can't.
No, I cannot.
Maybe you can make an argument that you had more faith in the Commander's new coaching staff than in Eberflus and the Bears coaching staff. But if you go roster for roster, no. Like, it's not even... To me, it's not even close. The Commander's was a much worse situation to go to.
For sure. I agree with that 100%. And I didn't even like Ben Quinn as an IR all that much. What I did like was Cliff Kingsbury. And the issue that I had with the Bears was that, one, they didn't fire Eberflus when I think they should, when they're getting a rookie QB in. The head coach should be an offensive guy. That's always like my rule of thumb. That's the guy that you want. Plus, two, they hired fucking Shane Waldron, which just tells me that you're fucking dumb fucks. Because I've watched this guy coach my Seahawks offense for like 3 years or 2 years or whatever. And it's just like, it's always the same dumb shit. It's screens on like 3rd and 10 and runs in like 3rd and 15. And it's like, some of this stuff just does not work. And he's running like 3 tight ends out there when you have good wide receiver talent. And it's like, you're running on first down, or you're throwing like crazy passes on like the second down when you need to manage the downs. And it's just like, the play calling was everywhere, and it feels like the Bears are suffering a bit from that. And in the end, like, the play calling and now the offensive run is also not super great on the offensive line, and it's showing as well in Chicago. So, yeah, I had an issue with that with Shane Waldron. I did think that they should have hired the better OC. I never get, like, why, like, the Seahawks fired this OC. They've worked with this guy for like 2 years. They fire him because they think he's not good enough. And then you have a dumb fuck team who goes in there and is like, oh, but I know better, so come here as well. And let's not even demote you from your position. Let's give you the same position. It's just like, that's not how this shit works. Like, he lost his job as an OC. He needs to go back. And now he needs to be, I don't know, a running backs coach, a wide receivers coach, a QB coach. It's like, if you're not good enough at your job, you do not get fired and go to another team, do the same fucking job, because you're not good at that. So the Bears apparently didn't get the memo. Only 31 teams in the league got that. Some fuck up in the mail, I guess. It was too cold in Chicago to deliver. I guess that's it. But yeah, Jaden Daniels is good. But now we're actually going to see if he's good or how good he actually is. Because, like, the next two matchups, those are going to hurt. Because it's Pittsburgh, and then it's at Philly. And Philly is a short week, if I'm not mistaken, or it's, like, a primetime game, if not mistaken.
Wow.
So
I'm impressed you gave Philly credit as a tough matchup.
It's a division rival. You're really involved in
what it takes there, Alex.
It's a division rival, and Barkley is playing great.
He really is.
That's about it, though. And it's only an actual matchup if A.J. Brown is playing, because apparently the Eagles have, like, this shit code in which, like, their offense is only good if A.J. Brown is on the field. The moment he's off the field, it's like they take a minus 50 on every single rating on the offense, and they turn into thirds. So, hey, we'll see. If A.J. Brown plays, we actually have a matchup there. If he doesn't, though, it's probably the Commanders by, like, 1,000.
This guy. Even in a compliment, you have to throw shade at this.
I mean, it's hard to not throw shade at a team that had the Jaguars beats, I don't know, what? Like, they had 20 to something versus the Jaguars. Like, the Jaguars didn't even have points in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. I can double check that. Yeah, they had the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were up 16. I believe they were up 22 to nothing on the Jags in the third quarter. And then in, like, 2 minutes, the Jags scored 16 points. And the game goes from, like, being up 22 nothing, and they only win the game by 5. So those dumb fucks cost us the bet. We were on the Eagles, but apparently the Eagles can't even, like, deal with the Jaguars, the shitty Jaguars.
Were not on the Eagles.
The Eagles what?
The Eagles weren't on the Eagles.
No, they were not. The Eagles are just going to be the Eagles, man. It is what it is. Like, the Jaguars scoring 23 points with Trevor Lawrence throwing for 169 yards and 2 interceptions is peak NFL. I'll tell you that much. And it's peak Eagles. Okay. Next up, the Lions. We're almost wrapping up here. And then we can just go to the picks.
Really good. They're just a good
offense. The Lions.
It's a great offense.
It's not even that they're a good offense. It's like you look at the stats, and Jared Goff, the last time that Jared Goff threw for 200 yards was on week 7. So past 2 weeks, he has a combined 230 yards passing. 2 weeks combined, he has 230 yards passing. He has never thrown for over 55 yards apart from week 2. For 59, no, my bad. He has never thrown over 30 times in any game outside of week 2. Like, it's not even that, like, Goff is playing great or the offense is moving the ball great. It's just, like, they're playing good football just in general in every single place. Like, they're making turnovers. The run game is going strong. The defense is playing strong no matter, like, the talent that they have. Because, like, losing Hutchinson and they're still playing the same, which is fun. It is hurting, like, pieces in terms of, like, fantasy football. Mm-hmm. Because you look at, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is usually, like, a very consistent guy in terms of, like, his points totals. And, like, this year, like, he has had some stingers, which he usually doesn't. So he's hurting there a bit at times. It's not really something that concerns you. He's still wide receiver 9 on the year. It's just like he's getting you some of those down weeks. Like week 1, he only had 1 point. He only had 4.3 points in PPR. Week 8, he only had 8.7. And like in week 6, he had 13.7. That doesn't kill you, but it's like it's not what you expect from Amon-Ra. And it's not what you're counting on from Amon-Ra. So. But yeah, they're rolling. The Packers are another dumb fuck organization because throwing Jordan Love out there when he's like at, what, 45% is definitely what you should have done. Also, like, teams, man, teams. I need someone to explain to me how the indoors team is more prepared to play outdoors than the outdoors team because it's raining heavily. Your QB is constantly just like mishandling the snaps because you're not running fucking gloves on your QB. Like, can't LaFleur just go to the guy and be like, okay, here's the pair of gloves, wear the shit. At least in your throwing end. Just like, so you can actually grip the football and not just fumble it every single place. But no, they just go in there, they just lose fumbles, they just lose like possessions, not possessions, but they lose like, they lose plays basically. By mishandling snaps, and it's just like it's a clusterfuck. Yeah, and it's just like clusterfucks everywhere.
And then that's how you end up. Hold on, did they win last week? I actually don't remember that game.
The Lions, they won 24-14.
Yeah, against the Pat. Yeah, wow.
Poor Panthers. There's only a team that is more than fucked than that, though. It's the team that was up, what? They were up 13 points. No, they were up 13-3 on the Los Angeles Rams. And then these guys just decide, you know what? We're actually going to be very shitty right now. And it's like, I don't know, man. Some of the play calls are just... We start the game, we end the ball over, and I remember this distinctly because I was raging inside. We start the game, and we're like, okay, Kenneth Walker is in the back. We're taking snaps. We're handing the ball over. We're throwing passes to Kenneth Walker. We're doing all of those good stuff, and it's like, Kenneth Walker, he is in. So, he starts. And he goes... First play, 40 yards run. Second play, 18 yards receiving. Third play, 3 yards run. Fourth play, 6 yards run. Then he gets stuffed. On fourth down, he gets 2 yards. And then you know what they do? They are like, yeah, this is the time that we put in Zach Charbonnet. Zach Charbonnet gets the football. It's first and 10. The fucker gets a yard. And it's, like, it's the shittiest yard ever. Like, he just goes in there and he just stumbles forward, gets tackled easily. And it's like, yeah. So, that's what having a Jack as a backup does to you. But it's like, how much you actually use this Jack. Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the second play is still in there. Gino gets sacked. Protection is shit from him. Just the regular old stuff. And then an incomplete pass from Gino. The drive ends. Just great fucking shit. Next drive, also, like... much like the Seahawks offense. Yeah, good job, man. We had something going here with Kenneth Walker. Thank God we ruined it with Zach Charbonnet. Feeling so great. And then it's like the second drive that we have. It's like, okay, run the ball. Give the ball to Kenneth Walker. Let's run this puppy. Let's throw him some balls. He's explosive. Let's get this guy going. Oh, you know what I'm actually going to do? Mishandle the snap, first and 10, becomes second and 31. Another drive to the gutter. Just like that. And it's, okay. Great stuff. And then it just goes down there, downhill from there. It's like, it's the same thing. Back with Pete Carroll, I used to be like, okay, let's stop running the football. Right now, I'm just asking. Run the fucking football when it matters. Like, when you have a good thing going, keep running the football. Like, we were running the ball well to start the game. Then we're starting to get off of that, give some carries to Zach Charbonnet, just fumble that very quickly.
To be fair, I'm going to play devil's advocate for the Seahawks for a second, but to be fair, JSN was very hot in that game, so you can't just stop passing altogether.
I mean, it was hot when we needed to pass the football because we abandoned the run game. And all of a sudden, Cameron Kitchens gets a pick six. And when we were up 13-3 going into the half, we start the fourth quarter down 20-13. So we need to get that ball running right there. We need to get some passes going. So that's why JSN was being involved a bit more here and there. He was getting some coverage breaks and getting some huge chunk gains. And I'm not against like passing. I just think that our situational passing and our situational running isn't where it should be. Like, I feel like there's a lot of situations where it calls for a run because either we've been running the ball well, we're like in a short yardage situation, or just like the personnel changes. It's like we have something going with, like, for example, Walker in this case. We have something going with him, and he's like, it's a new drive start, a new down comes. It's like he runs the football on first and 10, gets like, I don't know, 5 yards, and then he is off to the bench, he goes, and in comes Charbonnet. And I know this is a regular rotation, but it's just like when you decide to make the rotation, a lot of times it isn't even like at the start of the drive, it's in drive, and it just sort of messes up the flow of the game for our running back and our offense in general. And then it's not even that you're putting a guy in there that is actually good. You're putting in a Jag versus one of the best running backs in the league. And it's like, I feel like the rotation, although it should happen, because I think that when both guys are fresh, the backfield is much better, especially when K9 is fresh. But I just feel like you're breaking his rhythm way too much with some of those substitutions.
I get that. And it's a hard balance. And honestly, it's a hard balance to find because you want your backs to get in rhythm, but you also want them to have rest and to be fresh so they can run harder on the plays that they're on the field for.
Yes.
So I don't, that's something I don't think necessarily that there's a right answer for.
Yeah.
I think Alex just wishes they had someone better than Zach Charbonnet as the change of pace back.
And it's like, and here I am crying about this, and Zach Charbonnet had 5 touches in general. 5 opportunities, he had 4 touches. 2 yep. catches, 2 catches, 2 runs. But it just feels like when they take Kenneth Walker out, and when they put Charbonnet in, even if it's not for a run or a catch or whatever, it's just for like pass blocking, it just feels off. It just feels like it shouldn't have been the substitution there. I would much rather like not give, like for Kenneth Walker in this instance, he had 28 touches. I would much rather downgrade that to like 20. Keep him fresh. Even give him less touches. I'm okay with that. But just don't break his rhythm when he has it. It's just don't take him off the field when he's going and when the offense is actually moving. Do that like at the start of drives. Give like the drive to one guy. I would much rather have that in which you're giving, like, I don't know, 3 drives to Walker, 1 drive to Charbonnet. I'll be much, much happier with that. Maybe it's just my interpretation that is wrong on the game because I haven't really seen a whole lot of people commenting on it. I've also haven't been really tracking it all that much. But, like, to my eye, when I see that, it just sort of pisses me off.
I mean, it's a take.
Yeah. There's a take.
That's right.
Okay. And now we've talked about every single game.
This guy.
Outside of, like, the Chargers and the Browns. And I'm okay not talking about that one because Jameis is still Jameis. Everyone got super high on them. But Jameis is still Jameis. At the end of the day, that's Mr. 30-30. So, Jameis pulled the James.
Yeah, like I said, I think for the Browns with James, there are going to be games that he wins them because he's so hot, and there's going to be games that he loses them because he's so cold. And that was a lose one. It's kind of that's the James Winston experience. He is who he's been since he got drafted. Basically, he's the guy that threw 30 touchdowns, but also threw 30 picks in the process. So
that's Mr. 30-30 for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jump into the picks.
Let's go. I think we're going to, unless you found some imaginary time, we're going to have to flash fire through these.
Not flash fire, but we'll get through them fast enough. Okay. So recap from last week. You went Let me open it up here. You went 10 and what? You so last week we had I was 7-8, so we had 15 games. Wait, 15 games? Okay, yeah, 2 buys. You had you went 10-5, so that pushes the overall number to, on your end, it is 74-79. But it is counting Thursday night football this week of the Bengals. So I'll take one loss off of you. You are 74-78, so you're just reaching the 50%. I have a much worse record. I'm 64-88, so I'm going through it. But we still have time to pick the pace back up. And it starts with this week, because we have a good week. If we just count the one game that happened, I'm currently leading. I hit a Thursday night football. Just needs to be a Thursday night football game in which I do not share my pick.
Yeah, just don't share the pick with the world and...
We're good.
You know, you're good. Apparently, you can predict it right. So
I got it right. I got the Cincinnati Bengals right. I still haven't predicted Thursday night football game in which I've shared the pick, but I've now hit one in general. So you the too. Bengals covered the line versus the Baltimore Ravens. So this now leads us to the next games, 12 games incoming. Here we go. First one, we're going to Germany. And it is the New York Giants at the Carolina Panthers. These lines are probably from like Wednesday, I would guess. Uh-huh. So if you see some difference in there, it's probably that. But yeah, the Giants are 4.5-point favorites going with the Panthers to Germany. I kind of just want to take the Giants. I'm not gonna lie, Giants -4.5. I still don't trust this Panthers team.
1-2, throw out Spindly Cabbers. They can win you the game. I want the streak to continue. You know, I want this to be the game Brian Daboll gets fired. So I'm going with the Panthers. I'm just putting that energy out there. I wanna speak it into existence. The Panthers are winning this game, and Brian Daboll is gonna stay in Germany.
And it is another Bryce Young game. So you are backing Bryce Young, by the way, because apparently he has now regained his job.
Yeah. Now, if only Anthony Richardson could do the same.
Hey, we'll have time. Like, just like his old.
All right. Bears, Patriots. Like I said, I'm trying to flash fire this. I'm just going with my guts on all these. Give me the Patriots. I think Drake May is going to be able to score some points. Granted, the Bears' defense is good, but Drake May will score some points. I do think the Bears offense will struggle against the Patriots defense, and it'll be within a touchdown, I think.
Okay, so
he's like, I'm having some doubts.
I'm kind of, I feel like it's, we're going back to the pressure. I don't think the Patriots defense is getting any sort of meaningful pressure here on the QBs. At least as of late, and Caleb versus that, we know how he does. So I'm expecting them to actually look fairly competent here as an offense. So give me the Bears -6.5. After that, we have the Buffalo Bills going to Indiana. They're facing the Indianapolis Colts. Wait, is it Indiana or is it just Indianapolis?
Indianapolis.
Is it the same shit?
Indiana is the state. Indianapolis is the city.
Got it. Okay. Very creative. I'll tell you that much. It's like, you know what we should call the city inside the state of Indianapolis? Of Indiana? Indianapolis. Just great. And I'm guessing it's some sort of city. Polis from the Greek. It's like the big city in Indiana.
Yeah, it's huge. It's absolutely huge.
Got it.
That's one of their like 5 biggest cities. But pretty much, Indiana is a huge state. You can go to like 1 of 5 cities that are populated and the rest feel like ghost towns.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie.
Got it.
It really do feel like that.
Okay, next up, Buffalo Bills at the Indianapolis Colts. The Bills are 4.5-point favorites versus the Colts. Kind of want to pick the lucky Bills. kind of don't want to pick the Bills.
Yeah. You don't want to pick the best quarterback in Indianapolis right now?
I do not. but just give me the Colts. I think they make this close enough. I feel like their defense is sneaky enough, decent, to make this somewhat close.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bills. I think this is going to be a shellacking. And the Bills are going to just run through this.
Oh, what happened to the best QB in the Indianapolis, Angelo?
I mean, that doesn't mean the Bills are, or the Colts are better than the Bills.
Hey, but it should give them a better chance. That's why we benched them, isn't it? Is it like...
Yeah, it will.
What are we doing?
But it won't be good enough. Vikings versus Jags. Vikings favored by 4.5 points. I'm not picking the fucking Jags, so just give me the Vikings.
It's the Mac Jones-led Jags this week.
Oh, no.
It's McDaddy, and he's back home. Give me the McDaddy Jags.
Oh, God damn it. Did Trevor get benched, or is he hurt?
No, he's hurt.
Okay.
I believe the quote from Peterson is, he's not on track to play, but he hasn't been ruled out yet.
He might want to not be on track to play a bit longer so he can avoid playing as many games with this team as possible.
Hey, he might avoid want to play because he's trash. So let's give some reps to the actual good QB in this team. Let's give some Mac Daddy Jones love.
Are you saying Mac Jones is actually the best quarterback in Jacksonville?
He's the best quarterback in that class as well.
Oh, man.
Okay. Next up. The Denver Broncos. They go at the KC Chiefs. Yeah. Weird line. Not so weird, I guess, but it's like...
I think it's a weird line.
The Chiefs kind of never covered this, right? In terms of like...
Yeah.
They kind of never really covered this. Big number.
I think it's because of how badly the Broncos got destroyed by the Ravens. And, yeah, shellacked. And the betting community, I'm sure, views the Ravens and the Chiefs on about the same area. So if the Ravens can destroy the Broncos, then obviously the Chiefs can destroy the Broncos. I'm guessing is the logic.
Okay.
Because if I'm not mistaken, this is the same line that the Ravens got against them.
Yeah, it is about this. Yeah, it was either 9.5 or 10. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. Give me the Broncos.
You know what? Give me the Chiefs. I do think the Broncos is the best pick here, especially by plus 10. But something tells me that Kansas City bullshit is just going to continue. Oh, give me the bullshit. Falcons versus Saints. Falcons favored by 3.5. Give me the Falcons.
That feels like an easy enough pick, right? Just the the Saints traded away Marshawn Lattimore, losing now Chris Olave. Like, they have no one.
Olave's gone.
Almost, yeah. So he's been ruled out right now. Carr
is getting lambasted in the media.
And by Michael Thomas. So that's just fun. The retired slant abuser is on Derek Carr's ass. So that's fun. But yeah, just give me the Falcons -3.5. This feels like a trap line. This has trap line written all over it. I'm just going for the trap here, really. So yeah, Falcons -3.5 is easy enough here for me. This seems tempting. It's kind of sus. The San Francisco 49ers go at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Niners coming off a bye. Apparently now everyone is healthy. Like CMC should be back. The only guy that they're still missing is Ayuk, who's out for the season. But Debo now rested. Kittle now rested. Everyone at full force. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're fighting their ass off. Like, they lost versus the Chiefs, but they still drove them to OT. No Mike Williams, no Chris Godwin. And they are still fighting. I don't know. Give me the Buccaneers plus 6.5. I feel like everything in this line points to the Niners should absolutely destroy the Bucs. But I don't know. Just feels like a weird line. It feels like the Bucs have this crazy fight in them to never really give up.
They do.
So
they and their offense is very good. They put up a lot of points.
Yeah.
Against a lot of teams.
So it's like you're looking at almost a touchdown. Purdy has been shitty the whole year. Give me the Bucs plus 6.5.
All that said, you know what time it is. It's time for to get sacrificed. Let's go. San Francisco.
The amount of sacrifices have been kind of low this year. So
we need to get back to the 49ers I know and love. We need to get back to normalcy. Pittsburgh at Washington. Washington is favored by 2.5. That basically means it's a pick 'em. Fuck the Steelers. I'm not picking them. Give me the Commanders.
Weird game, because I do think the Commanders win, but I think it's going to be close enough that the Pittsburgh Steelers probably cover this. So give me the plus 2.5. The Commanders are in this weird state in which, like, they are a good team. And they're playing good. They're getting wins, but they're never really putting away their opponents. It's like versus the Bears, they played well the whole game, had to win in a lucky Hail Mary at the end, even though they were above the Bears the entirety of the game. Versus the Giants, I mean, they were ahead of the Giants for all of the game, but the Giants never really got, never really fell off in that game. They never really got into a position in which it wasn't attainable. And they managed to crawl their way back, and it was like a one-possession game by the end of it. So I do feel like the Pittsburgh Steelers have a chance here to upset, but I'm just going to go with the points. Okay, next up, it's the Tennessee Titans at the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers are 7.5-point favorites. Will Levis is back in the starting lineup, so it's like, what? The Chargers is actually like they started with 14 points. So like this line doesn't even matter. Just give me the Chargers. The Tennessee Titans never beat the Chargers, it seems like. And now they have Will Levis back off of injury. You're just going to throw two picks. One of them probably is a pick six. Like they're going to run the ball with J.K. Dobbins like what, 30 times?
Alex. Give me the Titans.
Another dumb fuck. Jesus Christ, dude. Okay. Hey, one win for me.
You already got it. It was Thursday.
Another win for me. I'm already counting this one.
All right. The Jets at the Cardinals. The Jets are favored by 1.5, which is funny because the Jets are a 3-6 team and the Cardinals are a 5-4 team. At this point, I'm just betting on fuel and hate against the Cardinals. Give me the Jets. I think the Cardinals is the better line. They seem to have some kind of voodoo magic that makes them either play extremely well or extremely shitty. So let's have the shitty Cardinals come in.
Yeah, I agree. Shitty Cardinals it is. You mean the Jets? I mean, the Jets played well versus the Texans. It's a game we didn't talk about much. Everyone and their mama kind of was on the Texans, you know, there.
After you cursed them.
After I cursed them. It was Jova. And yeah, so the Jets are kind of getting into a groove now, playing a bit better. Maybe it was just a game, like groove of a game. But yeah, they seem to be playing a bit better, and the Cardinals is just like, you never know what you're getting with the Cardinals. So they can win this game by, I don't know, 10. They can lose this game by 14. I wouldn't be surprised by any of those outcomes. So.
It's on you.
Next game, it's the Philadelphia Eagles going at the Dallas Cowboys. America's game of the week, probably.
Two teams you hate.
Two teams I absolutely hate. Two teams who are quite shitty. Oh, buddy.
2-1, 3-5
Yeah. Let me check. Is AJ Brown playing? Do the Eagles have an offense? This is a fairly quick thing to answer. So AJ Brown is ready for week 10, so they will have an offense. Now, do I trust the Eagles to cover over a touchdown versus anyone on godforsaken earth? I will say, Jesus Christ, dude, this is so bad.
Alex is searching his soul right now for the answer.
This is the worst game. I swear. It's like, I can't pick a side. I don't like any of these teams. Just give me Cooper Rush. +7.5 I mean, like, they blew a lead bigger than this one to a worse QB than Cooper Rush last week. Just
give me the Eagles. I think we're going to see a bit of course correction. Detroit at Houston. Detroit is favored by 3.5 points. Houston is no longer cursed. I still think Detroit, though. This is one of the best teams in football, man.
Detroit all the way, man. They might only throw for like 200 yards, but they're scoring 40 on you if it needs to be. So, yeah. Plus I'd like to see them
versus the Ravens in a Super Bowl. Just that would just be a huge game.
That would be fun.
That would be very fun, yeah.
Now they have Za'Darius Smith, if I'm not mistaken. They acquired them from the Browns, you know, on the trade deadline. So that's going to be an extra layer that added to that pass rush. So yeah, I also like the Detroit Lions -3.5. Texans are now without Stephon Diggs for the rest of the season. Nico Collins could be back. It hasn't been confirmed yet. But yeah, I still can't trust this Texans team, man. Okay, and Monday Night Football. The Miami Dolphins go at the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are -2.
Two of my favorite teams.
Yeah, two of your favorite teams. The Rams are -2.5 point favorites at home. Yeah, this is kind of a shit game as well, it seems.
I think this is going to be a good game. You're tripping.
I do not trust this Rams team, man. I feel like they are irregular. So give me the Miami Dolphins +2.5.
All right. Thanks for giving me the Rams then. Cool.
And that is it. Just give me real quick your minerals, just so we can wrap this up.
Oh, fuck, I don't have a Thursday night to lean on
you
anymore.
You do not have a Thursday night.
Bronze, Panthers versus Giants, picking the Panthers because I want to will this into existence.
So that's Panthers +4.5?
Yep. Detroit at Houston, silver.
So that's Detroit -3.5. And for gold.
You know what it is. San Francisco demolishing Tampa Bay.
-6.5. Okay. For me, we're doing... So what are we doing? Interesting. I think we're doing Atlanta. -3.5. We're really falling for that trap. That's for bronze. For the silver pick. The silver pick, we're probably going with Detroit with you. Detroit -3.5. And finally the gold pick, the Chargers -7.5. That's good enough for me. Anything else to add?
I do not.
Yeah. So, guys, thank you very much for sticking around. This is a weird week, calling sick and whatnot. Not the best, but thank you for enjoying this. This is coming out on Saturday, right?
This is coming out tomorrow. Today's Friday. Yeah. It's coming out tomorrow.
Oh, comes out on Thursday. Jesus. This comes out on Saturday. So, yeah, you can have like a full day to listen to this. Look at our picks, look at our reviews, look at our rants. So, thank you very much for staying up until now. If you're listening on the Apple Podcasts app, Spotify app, wherever you listen to your podcasts, really make sure to drop us a 5-star review. Make sure to leave us a comment as well. Make sure to turn on the auto downloads as well. That really helps out. So, appreciate if you could do that. And it takes like, 20 seconds, 10 seconds. It's whatever. It's fairly quick to do all of these things. And it helps out quite a bit. If you're listening on the YouTube, just you know what to do by now. It's just the comments, the likes, the subscribes, the whatnot. It's what drives the show. So, yeah. Thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed everything. And have a good Sunday of football. Enjoy the early games as well. Don't forget, there's the Germany game happening. So, you're going to tune in super early to watch the Panthers and the Giants. Who wouldn't want that? So, yeah, enjoy those games. Enjoy your week. If you face Ja'Marr Chase in fantasy football, at least you don't have to open up the app. Yeah, it is what it is. So it happens to everyone. If you're new in fantasy football, it's just what happens. Like, you'll have weeks like this. You can just enjoy football. You don't need to worry about fantasy. So, yeah, have a good weekend, guys. Talk to you next week.
Peace.